Paul, after describing and instructing about God's grace in the book of Romans, turns to the applying, having a responsive heart to God about His grace, for His grace, with His grace. And I come to chapter 13, it really talks about being a good citizen, being a good neighbor, being a good Christian. Beginning at verse 1, chapter 13, Paul says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist may bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes." He mentions, you know, really having the right perspective towards the government. And Paul talks about being in subjection to the government, being a good citizen. You know, let every soul be in subjection. Verse 2, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God. Verse 5, must be subject. Really speaking about being obedient and compliant and subjective to the government, towards government authorities. Paul writes in Titus, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Peter writes, therefore submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Paul and Peter talking about just being a good citizen, following the government. For in so doing, you are really following God and responding to God. Being a law-abiding citizens, ordained by God, the Bible tells us. The government officials, appointed by God. God establishes government. In Daniel, when God was warning Nebuchadnezzar, when Nebuchadnezzar thought he built his kingdom on his own power and in his pride made them comments, and God brought him to his knees, and he told him, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Jesus affirms the same thing when he told Pilate, you would have no authority unless it be given to you by God. Spurgeon says that he liked to read the newspapers in order to see how God was governing the world. God in control in the kingdom of man. Daniel, Peter, John, all mention. But, you know, there's exceptions. When they told Peter and John not to teach anymore in the name of Jesus, when there's conflict, you know, we're to obey God rather than man or the authority of man. Consequence and penalties mentioned in this passage, if we don't obey the law, being that they're God-appointed ministers, the Bible says that they're the avengers. They don't bear the sword in vain. They're avengers. In Romans 12, the Bible tells us not to take revenge or to avenge ourselves. but the government officials appointed to avenge ourselves. Doesn't bear the sword or the, you know, in our case, the firearm in vain. See a police officer, you know, with his gun in his holster. It's not there for show, you know, and that's what Paul's saying, you know, that it's for a purpose. The Bible promotes that we're to really let the system work, the judicial system, trusting God, having its due course, allowing it to take care of things. The Bible tells us in this passage that there's benefits, we have benefits to our government. We have civil order. You know, it's not like that in every country. And, you know, we have the restraint of evil. Police officers going through our neighborhood all the time. There was one next door yesterday. And, you know, there's advantages. Protection that the government offers. In this passage, those who do good will be praised, you know, through the system. You get a letter of commendation all the way to the key of the city. Those who do good will be praised. Therefore, he says in verse 6, for because of this you also pay taxes. Support your local government, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes, to whom taxes are due, customs, to whom customs, fear, to whom fear, honor, to whom honor, supporting, city and municipalities, paying taxes, giving them respect and honor, their due. The Bible tells us that we're instructed to pray for, there's an exhortation to pray for authorities, those that are in charge. There's an exhortation in Timothy to pray for those in government. And Paul teaches Timothy, we pray in order that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. You know, it's different for us in our government. We have the privilege of participating in a vote and who's really becomes our officials. You know, up and coming, we have a vote coming. We're encouraged to participate. Now more than ever, you know, to be salt and light in our with our vote. Good citizens. Really, Christians should be the model citizen, you know, the best of citizens. And that's what Paul's saying, you know, applying God's grace. There's a responsibility, you know, toward government, and we're to be a model citizen. We're to be a good neighbor, good citizen, good neighbor. Verse 8, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law, Paul teaches. You know, some apply this to money. Owe no man anything. And, you know, to live without debt, without the constraint of debt. Someone has said, if you have a friend and you want to get rid of him, lend him some money. We don't know, you know, the Bible does, you know, promote cookie jar economics. We were talking about that last night. You know, we're not to spend money we cannot repay. We're to really have the money at hand in order to buy things. You know, there are exceptions. But the Bible teaches us that we're not to owe any man anything, but we do have a love debt. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He who loves another has fulfilled the law, the Bible tells us. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And, you know, that's an astronomical debt that we owe that we'll never pay. We'll never pay off. But we're called to make payments throughout our life. And therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Paul says in Romans, you know, not to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live according to the Spirit, you shall put to death, by the Spirit, you shall put to death the deeds of the body. Therefore, we are debtors. In verse 9, Paul goes on, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, are all summed up in the saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Loving my neighbor as myself. Being a good neighbor. Being a good citizen. Being a good neighbor. Paul teaches, if I love my neighbor as myself, as the, you know, the scripture and Jesus teaches us, then, you know, I won't commit adultery. True love waits and has respect. I won't seek to harm my neighbor. I'll seek to help him. I don't kill myself or destroy myself. I won't harm my neighbor. If I love my neighbor as myself, Jesus says, the law is fulfilled. Paul echoes Jesus. So being a good citizen, being a good neighbor, responsibilities. And verse 11, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And Paul, you know, being a good citizen, being a good neighbor, turns to being a good Christian. And he says, you know, knowing the time, it's time to wake up. You know, knowing the time, speaking about, you know, the time in which we live. Jesus says, you know, as a matter of fact, turn to Matthew 16. About the sign of the time and knowing the time. Verse 2, chapter 16. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather. Today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Paul saying, knowing what time it is, that we're coming to the end. We're in the end times. We were watching a documentary the other day. Ruthie was watching it, the Epicenter with Rosenberg on PBS. And, you know, Tim LaHaye was on it and all them books he wrote. And, you know, they did surveys and, you know, a big chunk, like 50% of Americans believe we're in the last days. Knowing the time in which we live, Paul says, Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Knowing the time, we're to wake up. You know, even Chris mentioned, you know, yesterday, the day before, Rosh Hashanah, you know, the Feast of Trumpets, happening right now, what's going on? You know, and many believe that it may be during the Feast of Trumpets that Jesus comes back. You know, Chris was saying that he was awoke out of sleep one time by the hearing of a trumpet. Lord help us. You know, be sensitive. Hear the trumpet. That would make a good alarm. You know? But knowing the time, wake up, Paul teaches. He said, you know, not only that we're in the last day, in the end times, but he says our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. You know, our salvation mentioned in the Bible in three time periods. When we're first saved, at the point of conversion, our salvation. Our present, the Bible talks about being saved, or as, you know, the day and the time and the moment we live in right now. Our salvation. But this is speaking about the salvation referring to the future when our bodies will be redeemed. He says, knowing that, you know, our salvation is nearer than ever before, we're to wake up, knowing the time, we're in the end times, the last days. Our salvation is nearer, the return of Jesus. We're to wake up. In verse 12, he contrasts night and day. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Darkness and light. He said that the night is far spent. That means it's near expired. Darkness, the sin and sorrow and evil and Satan. Time is almost up for the night. The Bible tells us that the world is passing away and the lust thereof. Time's almost up. The day is at hand. Speaking of the return of Jesus Christ. You know, knowing what time it is, you know, our salvation, when at the return of Jesus Christ, our bodies will be redeemed. Contrasting day and night. Paul says to the Ephesians, you know, redeem the time, for the days are evil. And this is what Paul's saying is, therefore, let us, you know, cast off the works of darkness. Wake up. Cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly. Therefore, since the night is far spent, you know, days at hand, time's almost up, return of Jesus Christ imminent, wake up. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light and let us walk. In verse 13, it talks about walking properly or decently, walking rightly. He says, let us walk properly in the days, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in licentiousness and lewdness, not in strife and envy. Strife is the one we have to watch out for. We were talking on Sunday night, or I was talking about how, you know, he says, walk properly. You know, walk with good balance. Have a good stride. We were watching the comedian the other day teaching him, you know, this white guy how to walk like a black guy. And we're to, you know, have a good walk, a good pace, with good balance and forward momentum. Walk properly, decently. You know, the danger about walking is, you know, you get, you can get accustomed to walking with a limp. You can, you know, walk off balance. I met this guy one time, a hard surface guy, an older Italian. He literally was, his posture was like this. He says, man, I thank God I have never had a problem with my back. He walked around like, carpet guys do that, you know. They walk with a little, because they're so used to carrying a carpet, you know. They walk just a little tilted. You get bent over. But we're to walk properly. Walk rightly. Wake up. Cast off the works of darkness. He said, in purity, in righteousness, in holiness. You know, wake up. The world's in a coma. You know, the Bible tells us that we were in a dead state, you know, and he woke us up. You who are dead, he has made alive together with dead in your sins and trespasses. He made us alive. We were listening to the radio today how the world thinks they're awake. They're in a delusion. One guy in the radio was talking about he went to Starbucks and seen on a coffee cup, it was written, you know, why do you, when you're going through a problem, call on God? And then it went on to say, tap into your own godhood within you. You know how right now at Starbucks, some kind of queer slang like that. He was talking about this new trend of atheism that's rampant today. more vicious, stronger. The world's in a coma. New Agers think they've been enlightened. You know, the danger for us, you know, like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, when he was going through the one land, where the air itself would make you sleepy, the Bible tells us, is the deception that we can get into when we think everything's fine. We're doing good. When actually we're, you know, in a dream state when it comes to our spiritual truth and our relationship with Jesus. We think everything's fine. Like in Deuteronomy 19, I think it is, where the man walks around saying, "I'm blessed, I'm blessed," when he was actually he's under the curse. Being, you know, not awake, not walking properly, not being in the Spirit. The exhortation, the warning for us, we're to stay awake. You know, he's already brought us out of the coma. Now we're to stay awake, stay alert, the exhortation. Live in the light of Christ's soon return. It's the responsibility over our own soul not to be in sin, to take responsibility over our soul, to stay awake. Jesus told the story, the parable, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. They fell asleep. They weren't prepared. They weren't ready for his coming. We're to live in the light of Christ's in return. Cast off the works of darkness, Paul says. Put on the armor of light, Paul says. Look at verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. This is one of them scriptures, you know. I was thinking, you know, if I ever wrote a book, I'd like to name it or title it, "That's What I'm Talking About." Maybe Charlie could do the, you know, the introduction. But this is one of them scriptures that if we take to heart and live mindful in and of, we're okay. You hear people, you know, I was talking to someone the other day, you know, and they quote scriptures a lot. Oh, and they're just quoting scriptures, nervous, you know. But the truth of this scripture, if I put on the Lord Jesus Christ and I take heart to that, you know, it isn't, you know, that I don't understand what this scripture means. You know, I keep the scripture at bay sometimes when I'm, you know, wanting to do my own will, not wanting to submit to him. But when I do, or if I do, I'm in a good place. I'm in a safe place. And Paul's, you know, he wraps it all up with, "Hey, that's what I'm talking about." This is what, you know, he sums up everything in this verse. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. It's a state of alertness. It's a safe place. You know, it's a state of spirituality that would make us all good citizens, good neighbors, good Christians, in tune with him, right with him, living in the light of his return. Let's stand. Good citizens, I entitled chapter 13, "Be Good." Lord, help us. We do look to you, Lord, and we thank you for your word and the truth and the power of the gospel. As Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation." And Lord, we ask that you would release your truth in our hearts, in our word, in our heart, in our mind. And Lord, let us be compliant as a good citizen to pray for those in authority. Do help us, Lord, understand the fulfillment of the law, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Lord, cause us to stay awake, to be sensitive, Lord, to the time in which we live. And O Lord, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Lord, do work your spirit and the truth of your word in our hearts. Strengthen us, Lord, through these times. Cause us to stay alert and awake for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. That documentary the other day, Ben, Matt, and you, and Israeli official, he was talking about how, you know, America is sleeping. They're asleep. They don't realize the Islamic danger. And how, I've heard that before, you know, they've been saying it for years. But the truth of our, you know, alertness, Israel is like in 24-hour-a-day alert. They're on guard all the time. Paul, you know, trying to exhort us to stay alert spiritually for his purpose. You have another song?